submissions on the water land plan. The first submitter on my list is Richard Sutherland. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thanks for that, yeah.
We've read the original written submissions. Thanks for putting that in. You don't need to read that out again to us because you've already read it, but you're very welcome to speak to it and highlight key points for us.
Yeah, I'll try that. Hi, and thanks for the opportunity to speak in our submissions. My name is Fred Sutherland. My wife Jill and I farm in partnership in the Black Hills in the Waikaka North Chatham area. We farm sheep and beef on 385 hectares of bedrock hill country and oxidising soils. As this is not an exact science, we'll have to take your word for that. On rule 20, first one, we need to know how two physiographic zones on one property are going to affect our management plan. In our operation, the decision of future cultivation for crop and brassicas are made in the spring, where we target poorer performing paddocks. Is this all going to be an extra expenditure for more documentation? Any documents I have viewed on this have given no indication of financial cost of plan. With that I mean, is it going to, over a 3-year period, do we every year that I take a pet have to put in a new plan? That's what I'm worried about on that one. The idea of limiting a property to 50 hectares of crop, even though this won't affect us, this is totally unrealistic, as this ruling could alter the whole dimensions of your operation, including financially. Suggest that this be governed on a percentage of the property. A larger property, more stock, extra hectares required. Some of the definitions of this document are a bit vague and they appear not to consider the outcomes. Also in that, it's not clear that they're calling cereal crops as the same as brassica crops. If you're a cropping farmer, does that mean that you're only allowed to put 50 hectares of crop in when on this? I've never read anywhere where that has been, that it is one of the outcomes. The intensive grazing, who defines what is too intensive? Like most things, many of us have a different comprehension of intensity. I've got a couple of photos here. Yep. The 20-degree rule. The 20-degree rule needs to be out to 25 degrees. Typical of our rolling country, many slopes are greater than 20, but sometimes only a segment of the paddock. Does the situation eliminate cultivation, or do we leave parts of the paddock unworked? You'll see here, that's on the phone, that is a spot where it was 24 degrees. That is the paddock, that's the back, the part that I took that 24, just below here. Though that is a plantation, we've taken the steepest bit of the paddock out leading down to the creek. It's probably 50 yards from the top there to the creek. There's another 100 yards back to the bottom of that bank. And then it rises at 24 degrees, going by my phone. Can you see a problem with working that ground? It's safe, I top it. There's looking from where I took that. That's 24 degrees. The next one is cultivating near a lake. Cultivating near a lake is a curly one. Apparently our duck pond will be classed as a lake and cultivation within 100 metres will be prohibited. I challenge any of you to come and water ski on our lake. I suggest you bring your own health and safety plan if you do. These lakes and ponds were created to act as a sediment trap and provide a habitat to encourage bird life. A buffer area around them and plantings of selected species to provide for birds and bees, one of the main things we need in our area. Often after heavy rain, The ponds can appear murky, but the streams continue clear. Two of the ponds have dams on them, that one included, which I believe are going to require testing to the dam walls. I fail to see the need and at whose expense. Our future plan is to have all our waterways fenced, but all this comes at a price, with fencing as well as in many cases a reticulated water system is required for stock. Another major concern, as we see more of these areas fenced, ungrazed and eventually covered in weeds, are we going to experience more chemicals in our waterways as broad use of herbicides are used for control or weed control within those fenced off areas? With our tile drains, most are collecting water from springs that are appearing above the ground. So some of the contaminants may not be as high as one would think. Mole ploughing is being used to bring water to the pipes, so the land is a lot drier than previous to drainage work. After heavy rainfall, our paddocks that are drained appear to handle it a lot better, and we don't have the same runoff. After continuous rain, these tiles are running into the streams and appear crystal clear. To me, that means a lot of the contaminants are being filtered in the process. We have one spring, this is here, one spring that runs from the top of our property and provides excellent water for stock 12 months of the year. That photo there was taken yesterday morning after a heavy downpour on Monday night. That's the water coming out of the pipe. It is coming from possibly 100 yards up the paddock where we've piped taken the water from. Gone the wrong way. That's the bath. This is natural, our natural stock water in this paddock. That's the bath. That's the water that's going there 24/7, 365 days of the year. I would have no hesitation in drinking out of that pipe, possibly even put it in my whiskey if I had a whiskey there. But you can tell there, I think that, yeah. As we farm at the head of a watershed, if we were to test all three creeks as they exit our property and all tested below the requirements set, should we have to change our farming practices? I'll go back to that. There is one creek that's leaving our place. That's the road, that's the boundary. And I think there's one more. That one there, that is at the bottom end of the place. It's fenced on one side. Whenever we intensively graze it, we put an electric fence down the other side. That's the water that's leaving. That was taken on Tuesday morning after heavy rain. I think you can say that there's not too many contaminants in that. Referring to this plan, I agree that things have to change. We are farming in 2017, not last century. Providing we see our fellow urban friends contributing towards cleaner water too. So much of this plan falls back on the farming sector. Keep in mind all those soap suds from cleaning cars, etc. in towns. I assume it joins the stormwater and continues to our rivers. Are all South and sewerage schemes performing at 100%? We are not against rates increasing, providing it's for the right reasons and target those areas that need improving. These amendments need to be across all of Southland as we are one province and we all want future generations to enjoy farming and recreation in this wonderful piece of paradise. We have heard it said we want our waterways back to the way they were when we were kids. Maybe our parents put us at risk with all that time spent bathing in the rivers as a kid in unknown EKI levels, possibly bad parenting. To bring a sweeping plan in like this without the exact science and unknown economic repercussions will be a very dangerous thing. And one final thing, Mr. Roy, if you lived in a town that had rules set and you had to paint your roof, had to have a roof painted red and a front door painted red, would you agree with that instead of blue?
We don't answer questions. Seeing that's a rhetorical question. Let's see if we have any questions for you, Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The top of the watershed, could you bring back the place, please, that you had first up there, man? That road going past the house there,
yeah,
that runs right up the ridge. Everything on the right-hand side is our place, and it runs down. That pond you can see is at the bottom corner.
Yep.
The stuff to the left all runs down into the Otama Valley. We have got another block over on the other side of the road here, further down. A wee bit more, to your left there now, and a wee bit further. That place was, we've just bought it, just acquired it this year. It never signed up to the rural water scheme, so all the fences go down the middle of the gullies. A lot of it you wouldn't touch with a tractor. So it's going to be very hard to fence either side. You're going to have to, but we're only talking very small creeks. Mm. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in Rule 20, you made some comments in your submission that you've only got two, but some we've seen have had multiple physiographic units. So you're suggesting the plan's not clear on how that is to be dealt with if you've got more than one?
Yeah, well, I just wonder, land use and that. If you've got, how do you judge where your physiographic zone ends? On our place, we've got two. It's a general map, but how do you work out exactly in your place where that physios, where the zones change?
Well, I was going by the principle of multiple zones.
Yeah.
So I would think that if Rule 20 isn't clear, as you suggested, that maybe an Appendix N would be some clarification of how you were treating the different areas.
Yeah.
And another issue that rises up is whether they're accurate. We've had that submitted to us as well. So.
Yeah. Well, accurate within a farm, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Have you read the 42A report?
Is that the one that's 700 pages?
Close to it, 642.
I've read 500 of them, but not the 600. No, I've tried to go through it, and I couldn't find anything that was relevant to me. I just couldn't seem to find it.
I just wanted to raise Rule 23 you've mentioned here, whether you agree with the officer's recommendation and the 42A report.
Which was?
Yeah.
Which was that... the 50 hectares wasn't a limit, it was a threshold for a consent, it was across all physiographic zones.
Yeah, but should you have, if you've got 1,000 hectares and you've been doing that 300 hectares of cropping to keep it going, should you have to apply for a consent over 50 when somebody that's only got 300 hectares is only doing 40 hectares? It should be on a percentage of your property, I believe. I'm not saying that those big places are doing the right thing, but it should be on a percentage. You shouldn't be penalised. These consents, there hasn't been anything said on costing. That could be a big cost to all farmers that have to consent.
That's also been raised. No, I'll hear that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thanks.
Yes, good afternoon. Roughly what percentage compensation do you do for intensive winter grazing?
Probably 25 to 30 hectares.
Well below 10%, probably.
It would be,
thank you, that's all.
Thank you for that.
I don't have any questions for you. You've raised issues that a lot of the submitters are bringing to our attention. Just to let you know, in terms of that issue of a duck pond, or if it's going to be classified as a lake, the office staff have recommended a number of changes to make sure that duck ponds and sediment ponds, etc., aren't captured by those rules. So.
One of the Environment Southland reps a few years ago suggested we put a picnic space by the duck pond. He was that impressed by it. I don't know who's going to use it.
That'll be good.
Thank you very much.